this evening. You turn with us over to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Book of Romans, chapter number 1. Appreciate you being here this evening. We'll stand on to read the Word of God found in Romans, chapter number 1, verse 1. There Paul is writing. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. What a statement. Called, been an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Here Paul was introducing himself to the church of Rome, not got there yet. Sending this letter ahead, letting them know who he is, what he's about. You'll notice he never lifted himself up one minute. He's always focusing on the Lord Jesus. He said in verse number 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And they are still holy tonight. And concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you. And so we thank you for this time together. Lord, many prayer requests have been spoken tonight. Realizing you're a God that knows about each one. I pray, Lord, you'd help them in each situation, in each circumstance. Pray, Lord, you'd give me the words to say tonight. Help me, God, to be a blessing to the people. I pray tonight that, Lord, for every teacher, you'd touch them and use them. Help our church. Thank you for what you've done on this hillside. Thank you for these folk that make up this body. God, many have needs. God, many have hurts. I pray, oh, God, you'd help them like only you, our good God, can do. Thank you, Lord, for saving me one day. Thank you for calling me. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm interested this evening in verse number 6. Something that really stood up in my heart today. As I've mentioned before, Paul was brought up in deep legalism and all the do's and don'ts of the law. He knew it forwards and backwards. He set the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, and God saved him on the Damascus Road. God turned him to the Gentile people. I sure am glad God saved Paul and turned the gospel toward our country. Marched in and told about the good news of the Lord Jesus. But now we see that there's something has come to focus in verse 6. Paul talks about thankful that God had saved him and he's a servant. But he's reminding everybody really specifically in verse 6. He says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now, it's been a very interesting study today. And I want to teach on this topic on seven calls of the Christian life. The seven calls of the Christian life. If you'll notice this, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're called, I'd ask you this tonight, and maybe you'd know one or two, maybe you know them all, but I would simply ask you this in a question to start. What has God called you to do? What does this Bible tell us that we're called to do once we're saved by the grace of God? Now, let's look at it this way, and God's a great bigger than what I'm fixing to say, but in the kingdom, and God as the owner and the ruler of everything, and we're working for Him in the vineyard. Now, what is He requiring us to do? What's He asking us to do as a Christian once we're in His family and in His vineyard? What has He asked us to be doing? Well, I'd like to say, first of all, the first call that God has put in our life is that of salvation. I sure am glad God called me to salvation. That's a universal call. God didn't die for a few. God died for everybody. Sent His Son, paid a ransom for all. So that call goes out universally tonight. And certainly in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7, and we're going to look at several scriptures, but I'll have you out here tonight. 2 Timothy, I hope you'll take your pen and pencil and write these down. First of all, you've been called unto salvation. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7. I'm glad He's still saving, O sinners. You'll notice this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. You can always remember this, anytime you're terrified inside, it's not of God, it's of the devil. So He's not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Here it is who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now you'll notice that we received a holy calling, a heavenly calling, a high calling, if you please. But God came to you. You was not interested in God, really. We were dead in trespasses and sins. A dead man cannot get to God, but aren't you glad that God can get to a dead man? God called you by the Spirit of God. He knocked on your heart by the gospel. Let's watch this in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. Now, we've been called unto salvation by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Mark this in your Bible. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel, not by interpretive dancing, not by a dog and pony show, not by yard sales or bake sales, or not singing happy birthday to great-grandmama, neither. But He said He's called us by the gospel. You know why He called by the gospel? Because He made this statement. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. This is what we don't understand. A lot of times when the preacher get up or the teacher gets up and teaches, this gospel goes out. We never know where this is falling on an ear or an heart. We never know that. That's God's business. All we're to do is to proclaim the gospel, which is the good news of the Lord Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection. We've got the greatest news to offer mankind that anybody's ever heard tonight. The old story's still true. And it is a gospel that's very much alive, very much pertinent in the day and hour that we live. Now, He called you by our gospel. Now, notice this. We've been called unto salvation by the gospel, but we've also been called by the grace of God. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7, back to that text, I want you to understand something and look. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 7, here you'll notice this, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, of power, of love, and of sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, if we could work our way into heaven, we could work our way out of heaven. But I'm glad we're saved by the grace of God, not of works, lest a man should boast about it. We're saved by the grace of God. That simply means that we simply get that we do not deserve. God's been good to us. And so, therefore, the call of salvation goes out. Once a person believes by the gospel, they're put in the family of God. We're saved by grace. We're called by the gospel. But look at 1 Peter 5 and 10. Not only are we saved by grace and saved by the gospel, but we are saved unto glory. 1 Peter 5 and 10. I'm glad what God does, He does forever. A lot of people say, well, you know, once you get saved, don't you have to live right in order to stay saved? Living right has nothing to do with it. Once you get saved, you'll want to live right. Amen. But let me tell you something. The grace of God not only saves us, but it keeps us saved. And so He says that we've been called unto salvation. We've been called unto this glory. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory, dominion forever and ever. I sure am glad we've not been called to get no glory, but we've been called unto glory. I'm glad heaven will be our home. Won't it be a wonderful thing when we get to heaven? Oh, it'll be such a blessing to leave this place and be in God's place. Now, we're called unto salvation. We're called by grace. We're called by the gospel. We're called unto glory. And in Ephesians 4, in verse number 1, we're also called unto this thing of salvation, and it has to do with growth or development. In Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That one of the major things, since we've been saved by the grace of God and we're called unto salvation, under this heading of salvation, there's a call that comes on our life that we are called to keep a unity in the church. We're not called to divide the church. We're not called to cause any issues in the church. It ought to be our priority to always promote unity and love, endeavoring to keep, in other words, your mind set to that, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then I want to skip down. I want to get in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now you'll notice here that Paul is writing again to the church of Ephesus, and he's telling them that simply we are called to grow up. And boy, that ought to be our heart's desire, that we would mature in the Lord. Now, the only way that we're going to grow up and mature in the Lord is to know what He's got to say about growing up. Amen. That's part of Wednesday night discipline. That's part of Sunday night discipline. Many times Sunday morning, we're preaching evangelistic. We're trying to preach encouraging, helping people in their lives. But we get doctrine through the teaching of the Word of God. And it's very important that we learn these doctrines, that we know about the slate of men. Now, I posted something today, and you know, I wish somebody would take a look at it. But John MacArthur finally called Joel Osteen out. Amen. Somebody needs to. Now, John MacArthur has a big platform. It does matter what he says a lot in America. I'm glad he called him out. I wish you would listen to that. Now, this is what's amazing. 30, 40,000 people in that Coliseum every Sunday, they're listening to lies. They're listening to damnable doctrine is what this Bible says. Now, the only reason you're going to know, I can tell you what them people's problem is. They've never been taught no doctrine. That's why you need to know what this Bible says. Get you a good pencil. Underline, write in your Bible. You can't remember all this. Underline it. Highlight it. Mark it. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with writing in your Bible. Don't be crazy about the situation. Mark in it so you can get back to it. But certainly we need to be taught the Word of God that we would know the slate and craftiness of men. Amen? I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going to anyway. Joel's wife got on there Sunday and posted and said, well, we don't worship God for God, we worship for us. Well, I thought He seeks such as those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And she said, it's not for Him, it's for us. Well, they wasting gas. I'm telling you right here, we're not here to worship each other. And we're not here to get positive promoting speaking. We're here to exalt the Lord Jesus and realize, honey, without Him, there is no heavenly home. There is no other way to heaven. And I don't want to get on a soapbox, but I want to train my people to know there is a difference. And the only way we can know that is somebody to tell us that. And get in the Word of God and find out for ourselves. Now, we have to do with growth. I want to say something. It's time. Don't let your feelings hold you back for God. If you're going to grow up, you're going to have to get you some thick skin and thick britches to do anything for God. Amen? And so God's wanting us to grow up if our feelings are hurt. Let me tell you, it comes to a time when we've got to put our feelings to the side and do what this Bible says do. There's a man called me this week, young pastor. He said, I want to ask you something. There's a couple families in the church causing us problems. God's wanting me to go this way. And I know if I go that way, I'm going to lose them families. I said, well, let me ask you something. Would you rather have God on your side or them families on your side? And a preacher can't make everybody happy. We're not called to make everybody happy. We're called to preach the gospel. And so we need to grow up. Now, seven calls of the Christian. We're called to salvation. I'm glad God come a calling. He's calling some of you. Some of you have never been saved by the grace of God. I'd be again saved, lest hell be my home. What if a car wreck takes you out and lets you meet God tonight? Heaven is real and hell is real. There's one way to the gate, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. A person must repent of their sins and be sorry that they're a sinner and turn unto God. He said He'd save us by grace. I believe repentance is mandatory to be saved. Now, seven calls. Number one, we're called to salvation. Anybody glad they got saved? Then Galatians 5, verse number 6. I want you to notice this, and this is one of the calls of the Christian under salvation. Under the salvational call, we've been called by grace, by the gospel, called to glory, called into growth, but also we've been called with a glorious freedom. And I want you to understand something here tonight in Galatians 5 and verse number 6. This came up with one of my children not long ago. I got the Bible down and showed them on the kitchen table to try to get them to understand where I'm coming from. Paul's talking about liberty here. And we hear a lot of times, well, you know, I have liberty to do that. Well, you do, but does it offend your brother? Because if it offends your brother or sister, it's wrong for you to do it. Now, God takes this business very serious. And I want you to notice this. We realize we're saved by grace. In other words, God will allow you to do some things, but He might not let others do some things. Also, others may not be grown spiritually where you are. And if it offends your brother, God says, leave it alone. It's not worth it. We can't be a stumbling block to our brother and sister. We've got to pull them along and let them grow with us. And so, look at this. We're called into a glorious freedom. Galatians 5, verse number 6. Now, he says simply this. He said, in Galatians, let me get Galatians 5 and verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Now who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. Now, verse 13. Here it is. We've been called to glorious freedom. For brethren, we have been called, there's the word, we've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now go to 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 that hinges that verse. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9. I want to say something that, and it's about the only example that this comes to my mind right now, but let's say the Lord allowed me to chew tobacco and it didn't bother me. All right? Then I've got liberty from the Lord to do that. let's say that maybe something very, very silly to many people. Let's say short pants. Let's say the Lord would give me liberty to wear short pants. I know I shouldn't wear them in the house of God. Somebody say amen. But let's say me and you are fishing down at the swamp. And you think, well, man, now if somebody, or let's just say somebody was to wear a hat, it'd be so offensive. But I've got liberty to wear that hat. All right here the Bible's telling me, but take ye heed. 1 Corinthians 8, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. In other words, you that are older in the Lord, God may allow you and give you some liberty to do things, but you cannot do those things in front of weak people. That would be a stumbling block to them. In other words, they may think, well, how could you be a Christian and do that? We don't want to affect anybody's growth in the Lord. We want to bring them to maturity. We want to help them. And I know it comes a time when you've got to understand and be plain and forthright and do what only God wants you to, but you do have to take others in mind with what you're doing. We're in a family. We're in a body. And this is what people don't understand about pastor. Many times my children have asked me this. Well, Daddy, why does that bother you? Because we're a family. If it bothers this, it ought to bother everybody. Let me tell you something in our church. We shouldn't have this group and that group and this group. That gets into schisms and divisions. We're one family unit called by the grace of God to promote the glorious good news of the Lord Jesus in a community. If you hurt, I ought to hurt. If I hurt, you hurt. If I cry, you cry. We ought to be that close in unity in this church. It ought not be your group, their group. Amen. And so it does matter how we do things in front of others. Keep that in mind. Will you offend your brother and sister with what you say? Some of you have got off-colored language. You need to clean it up. You don't need to be talking that way, no how. You need your mouth washed out with soap. Well, that's what he's talking about. You may have liberty to do some things, but be careful. Everybody's not where you are. Think about some other people. So we're called to salvation. Number two, we're called to separation. Colossians 3, verse number 1. Colossians 3, verse number 1. Once we're saved by the grace of God, we're called unto separation. Colossians 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, we all know that we've got to provide for our families. We have to have a job. We have to have income. We have to many times be in the world, but we don't have to be a part of the world. You can go to your job every morning and practice verse number 1. You don't have to be in a corn crib with blinders on. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. And you'll always know where he's at, because it always says it every time where he's at. He's on the right hand of God. Never mentioned on the left, but he's on the right hand. Now, notice this. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let me tell you something right here, and I'll touch everybody while I'm the preacher and the pastor here. When your winning team loses on Saturday, it ought not affect your church service Sunday morning. Set your affection on things above, not things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify or kill your members upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But underline this, but now. I'm glad I'm in the but now crowd. Honey, let me tell you, I may go astray sometime, but I sure do know where my bread's buttered at. But now, it used to not bother me, but now it bothers me. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That's dirty jokes. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds, have put on the new man, renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, put up with one another, forgiving one another. That'd cure every marriage that's headed to divorce, verse 13. Forbearing one another, that means to put up with. You better be glad somebody's put up with you a long time. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. And above all these things, above every one of them, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How are you going to do that? You got to know what it says. You got to read it sometime. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now you can listen to all your country music, you can break your heart all you want to, but I can tell you this, it's not promoting a healthy environment. I'll just go on from there. I know the culture, I know where I am. I get in your vehicle and you got it rocking. I mean, I know it's rocking. But I can tell you this, it don't promote healthiness. You always remember that. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father of and Him. Now watch this. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, that it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men's pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong in which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 15. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 15. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Talking about coming out from the world. We're called to separation. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. In other words, God lives in you if you're saved. And God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate or different, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, something you don't need to forget, and I move on, about this calling of separation. God is a jealous God. God does not want anybody else driving. He wants to drive. God wants to be God in everything. He don't want to be second fiddle to nothing. If you're courting the world, God is offended. I can tell you that. He's offended. And the Holy Spirit in you is grieved. Let me tell you, we're not to be better than nobody else, but we are to be different. Come out from among them. We ought to not think like the world. We ought to not act like the world. I don't know why in the world, and I hear this a lot in Christians a lot, well, you know what? It's not in contract, so we just gonna boo-hoo him. Well, if you told a man you owe him something, pay your bill. You ought not need a contract. Your word ought to be everything. You get home, they put a new iron in your bag from Target. Woo, I got over on them. No, you didn't. You stole something. Oh, you stole something. Man, God's been good to me today. Look what they didn't scan in my Target bag. You're a criminal. You're a crook. Salvation, we're called from separation. Then thirdly, one of the Christian calls is that of sanctification. You know, this thing of sanctification, Brother Adam said the other night, I've mentioned it before, but I thought it was a very good lesson he taught. The difference between separation and sanctification. Separation is getting you out of the world. Sanctification is getting the world out of you. Always remember that. Separation is getting you out of the world. But sanctification is getting the world out of you. We ought to be wanting God things. Why do so many ministries want to go so contemporary? All they want to do is watch movies and dance. Sounds like to me it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue in leadership. Every ministry falls or rises on leadership. And so we ought to have a spiritual mind. This thing of sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. And what I'm talking tonight is you can be human and be saved. You can have a good time and be saved. Remember your boundaries. God's put these boundaries in our life not to hurt us but to help us. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you receive of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I want to know how to do better, get ahead, that you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments that we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Not mine, but yours, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification or purity. That word simply means purity and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles who know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Here's a wonderful verse in 11. Highlight it. Put a star out beside it. Put arrows to it. That you study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you. If you'd see about yourself, you ain't got time to talk about your brother and sister. I found out in my life, pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, just trying to keep myself where I need to be behind this pulpit, I ain't got time to be dealing with nobody else's issues. I got all I need. Some of y'all must have arrived. But if you look down there at your address, you may find out there may be some stuff there to be seen about. Now underline it, to do your own business and to be quiet. I posted something this week. I seen a fish, fella dropped a big hook down in front of him full of worms. And that old mouth had his mouth closed, Brother Joe, and this was a slogan. Sometimes it pays to keep your mouth closed. God's called us to sanctification. Then 1 Corinthians 1. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 1. I've got to hurry. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints with all that in every place upon the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. It's not after you go to heaven you become a saint. The day you got saved, God come to live in you and declared you to be godly. Isn't that amazing? You become a saint. Now that don't mean that you don't have any sin. But it means we're striving to be more like Christ. Something's changed. We're all human. We all have difficulties and obstacles. But let me tell you something. Once you get saved, there will be a change. Now, the call of the Christian, called to salvation. Aren't you glad he knocked on your heart one day? It'd be the greatest day in your life when he's knocking on your heart, let him in. He's not wanting in to hurt you or ruin things. He's wanting in to help you. The call of salvation, the call of separation, getting you out of the world. The call of sanctification, getting the world out of you. You ever notice this? If you go to do things, I don't know if any of you buy lottery tickets. I think it's of the devil. I think it's a reproach if you do. And I hope I don't walk in a convenience store and you're buying one. That's all I know to say. But I can say this tonight. When you do something and it grieves you, you ought to be doing the rain dance. Thank you, Jesus, that you live in me. and this is affecting you, and I realize it affects you, and I don't want it to affect you, so I'm going to quit doing it. Getting the world out of us. Now, then He's called us not only to separation, sanctification, He's called us to be a servant. 1 Corinthians 7:22. I don't have to gamble to get my bills paid. I pay my tithes and I'm blessed. And when the lottery comes, the state of Georgia, so they say, well, the school won't have no money. Baloney. We pay enough school tax around here to educate every young'un in California. Amen. And the folks that pay lottery is the ones that can't afford to play it. I don't know why I got on that, but I'm backpedaling anyway. But I might as well cover it while I'm kicking up dust tonight. I've seen people going to a convenience store buying a little young'un wanting a cold drink. Want him to give them a cold drink because they got to buy a stinking lottery ticket. The young'un's diapers need to be changed. They can't even buy no diapers. Keep her young'un's healthy for buying a lottery ticket. Scratch on. What does tires me up? It's to be running late, pulling, and get gas. These nine folks sitting there wanting to buy scratch-offs. Won't you go in the back room and scratch off and get out of my life? Amen. Amen. Then we're called to be a servant. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 22. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he also that is called being free is Christ's servant. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he's called therein abide with God. We're called to be a servant. Then 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 3, we're called to be a soldier. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, hath chosen him to be a soldier. This is a battleground, people. The devil try his best to blow your brains out on the battlefield. Keep you so discouraged. We ought not be discouraging one another. We ought to be uplifting and trying to help one another. This is a battle. It's a war. Your family's involved. Your life's involved. This is the real deal. God's called us to be soldiers. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Now, the calls of the Christian, we're called to salvation. We're called unto separation. We're called to sanctification. We're called to service. We're called as a soldier. And then many times, 1 Peter 2 and 9, we're called unto suffering. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. I've heard people say, well, if you was living for the Lord, you wouldn't be suffering. If you was paying your tithes, then you wouldn't be having no trouble. They just hadn't read the Bible. Some of us have been called to suffering. Now, I'll tell you one thing it does. It makes us more like the Lord Jesus. You'll never know the fellowship of His suffering until you've suffered. 1 Peter 2 verse number 9. You're a chosen generation. Your royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, he goes on, he says this, verse 21, we'll get verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Here it is in 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps. Then lastly tonight, not only are we called to be a soldier, and we're called many times to suffer, but we are called to be a soul winner. And I believe that with all of my heart. In Philippians 2 and verse number 12. Philippians 2 and verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Then Mark 16:15, He told His disciples something that relate to us tonight. Mark 16:15 simply says this. He said to them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The Great Commission. And I'm going to tell you something. If we were not called to be soul winners, why would Proverbs 11:30 be in our Bible, the last place I go to? Underline it. Boy, it's very important. Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I believe with all my heart, God has called us to be soul winners. He's called us to be lights in a dark and old cruel world. And I'm going to tell you something, the way you'll win people to Christ, it's not telling them about the do's and don'ts, it's living it in front of them. Letting them know that you're real. That your God forgives, and your God is a God of second chance. And your God is a God of peace and joy. And your God is a God that is very much alive, and He's aware of what's going on in your life. Appreciate you being here tonight. Good crowd on Wednesday night. Thank you for being here.